All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, cool. I have teamed up with, you're familiar with like your 23s and me's and your ancestries.coms.
Yeah.
And the like. So I was thinking about, for many of us, not everyone, but many of us, our fathers are a mystery.
True.
And, people do these kind of ancestry.com things to find out like, oh, I'm the heir of the Earl of Dickwad and all this bullshit.
Yeah.
Maybe you just need to know what type of dad you got.
True. Yeah. 23andMe, where white people go for identity.
Yeah. I would love to have identity. I'm coming out as white. I'm saying that ironically. I wish I hadn't because shitty thing that real people say.
What if that was somebody's first impression?
If so, I'm sorry. I guarantee I'm the opposite of that. Mm-hmm. But anywho, I'm going to see, I'm going to hook myself up into this machine.
Okay.
And see what type of dad I got.
Okay.
Because I don't know. I haven't seen him since I was fucking 11.
Okay.
That's random.
Oh.
So let me do this DNA thing.
Okay. You doing the swab? Do you want me to hold your eyelid back?
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, this isn't comfortable. It doesn't hurt exactly, but it's not right.
No, I don't feel right.
Yeah.
You've got mail.
Okay. Look, we're going through the different dado types.
Okay.
Here we got handy dad.
It's assembling a composite. Yeah.
I got those dads. We got like veteran dad. You know, teacher dad, coke addict dad. We're getting closer, I bet.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, loaded dad.
Oh.
Dad who's full of alcohol all the time.
Oh. Does he drink for the government?
He drinks for the thrill of the spill. That's my dad. He's loaded. Game computer.
That's the name of a video game. Weird. We were just talking about that.
Super weird.
Huh.
I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
And welcome to Abject Suffering. Good news. Our Gary and Cole colognes are back in stock.
Cool.
Smell like us.
Smell like a podcaster.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Who do you think is the best smelling podcaster?
You know, I want to say the person who probably puts the most effort into smelling good is probably Jesse Thorne, just because the fashion thing probably comes along with some kind of.
He puts the most effort into.
Yeah, I think that there's probably some cologne, a lot of cologne that goes on there to a certain.
A lot of cologne.
Yeah, I mean, like yeah. Just if I think about a podcaster who is most likely to, you know, it just with his general haberdashery fixation, most likely to throw in. With cologne, it would probably be pretty like some kind of aftershave, you know, probably thrown in. Whether or not that smells best, I don't know.
I think he probably overdoes it.
Yeah.
You know who probably has a deft hand at this and it pains me to say it?
Who?
Is Travis McElroy.
Probably, you know.
One that nobody likes. Like, I imagine that one probably smells pretty all right.
Yeah.
Lotions and creams.
I've interacted with him in person several times. I was not offended by an odor.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
High praise.
it'd be an insulting question. I don't know what I smell like because I generally try to not use fragrances. So, and I try to keep clean.
The best thing to smell like is nothing.
Yeah.
Like if you can smell like nothing, that's great.
Yeah. You know, I just want to smell vaguely like lye soap. Yeah.
Yeah. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
We're talking about loaded. Can I get something out of the way real quick? So I can get out of my head.
Sure.
Cause there's tons to dine on.
Yeah.
Absolutely tons. How fun is it? All this morning, I have been making myself laugh I did the prep for this morning.
Okay.
This is a top-down gauntlet-like for PS1 developed by a company called Gremlin Interactive. I cannot stop thinking of Gremlin Interactive in the same cadence as the film Girl Interrupted. If you put a comma there, it is the most powerful comma that has ever been.
Ooh.
Gremlin, comma, Interactive.
Oh, that is really good.
Like a division of gremlins. Like there are certain, like this gremlin, this is a show gremlin, but this gremlin Interactive.
I wish I knew what Girl Interrupted was about. Is it about a girl that goes to school?
She goes to like a private school.
Okay.
And bad things happen to her.
Gotcha.
Thus interrupting her.
Huh.
Much like this game developer is about a gremlin who goes to private school and bad things happen to the gremlin, thus interrupting the gremlin.
It's about the gremlin's inconsiderate friend.
Yeah. The friend of gremlin. Grim friends.
Yeah. Oh, that is very good. Or just as a descriptive, like, hey, you know, most gremlins, they don't want to be around you. You know, there's not much you can do. This one really welcomes your input.
It's shorthand in an adoption site where you adopt a gremlin.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, like it's a subcategory on the Oregon Humane Society. Like there's dogs, cats, horses, pocket pets, gremlin Interactive.
Yeah. Gremlin looking for forever home. Takes a while to warm up with you, but eventually becomes Interactive.
Gremlin smiling politely.
No, I was going to go in the other direction, which is great. You know, gremlins and goblins are ascendant right now. You know, just in the general fucked up little guy-ing of stuff. And, you know, I really enjoy that. Like, I think that is a fun online thing. I worry, though, that it might start getting overexposed. Just the idea of something going goblin mode, right? I think that...
I feel like I understand that concern.
Yeah.
So yes, that is possible.
I don't want the fun to end is the thing. I want at least like 2 more months of tread on these tires.
Oh, I think we definitely got 2 more months.
Okay.
This to me is like a golden time to be alive. In that way. The fucked up little guy-ing is one of the most wholesome and best like internet aesthetic movements.
Yes.
Like what if a fucked up little gremlin?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm home in a way that I've never felt.
Yeah. You know, in a way that, you know, just like, I don't know, sexy anime guy was kind of in for a while, you know, like what if everything was kind of Bishonen kind of deal. I felt like we were in a period of that for about 5 years.
It fucking sucked. Uh-huh. And now it's like, what if just a horrible little goober?
Yeah.
You know, what if a wretched little critter?
Yeah. What if he walked funny and went,
you know, don't give me a bad deal. I don't want that. Like, that's fucking incredible. I love it. It makes me so happy. And this game is full of fucked up little guys.
Oh, it's made entirely of fucked up little guys.
Like Fub.
Fub.
Fub, the villain of this movie. Fub. We talked about having stuff to dine on in this fucking movie.
You keep saying movie, Gary.
Oh, well, it's very cinematic.
Okay.
I realize that this, I've done that multiple times.
Yes.
The plot description on Wikipedia, like we basically just have to read.
Kinda, yeah. Like
at least the first paragraph, because it's incredible.
Uh-huh.
Like this is such good. This is so good.
Fub was once a catering officer with the Sector Marines. Fub. Yeah. Parenthetical, which stands for fat, ugly boy, once on a barren desert front during one of the relatively obscure skirmishes of the last 40 years. Obscure.
Skirmishes, not wanting to let quote unquote the boys down. This is so ahead of its time.
Uh-huh.
In terms of like its steez, who are not wanting to let the boys down.
Who are they quoting? Is that
the boys?
I didn't see that the boys was in quotes when I was doing my prep for this. Loaded PSX manual. I need to see if that's because it's quoted, right?
Yeah. Who are the boys? So let's continue. You okay. Go ahead and look at the manual.
Uh-huh.
Unable to find any meat, the Fub cooked his own legs and served them up in a rich broth. Despite it being the best dish he ever created, Fub was given an unconditional discharge and asked to never show his face again. I've had it with you, Fub. Don't you try to serve us your legs in a delicious broth.
How dare you?
Fub replaces his legs with hydraulic powered replacements, then undertakes a radical appearance wearing furry dice, smoking Havana cigars, and painting a large target on his portly belly. Above in the general premise of this, the six playable characters in this game are a combination of villains, antiheroes, psychopaths, perverts, mutants, and flamboyant murderers. However, they're the best hope to stop the intergalactic supervillain nicknamed Fub.
Yeah, I love Fub.
Yeah. Reading about this is like a nonstop, like, yay.
They were set up by Fub.
They got Fubbed.
Fub railroaded them. They're serving
Fub. Don't serve me your legs, you fat, ugly boy.
Now they're serving a sentence on an inhospitable prison planet, the planet Ralph. Fub has even taken on a new identity, working his way up the ladder by murder, and is now the warden of Ralph.
Fub is so busy. the player, or two player characters, who can do co-op, must escape Ralph, chase Fub, and engage on a bloody odyssey across strange worlds of the galaxy to exact revenge on Fub. The supervillain, however, sees it as a challenge, and at this end, he creates a machine that can toy with the very fabric of the universe, manipulate matter, and even open doorways to other dimensions. Why is Fub the most powerful character in fiction?
Okay, we're going to go to the versus power rankings.
Fub basically created a machine that's Franklin Richards, and this is only one of Fub's things that he's done after cooking his own legs.
He was just getting started when he cooked his own legs.
With the machine, Fub plans to hold the universe for ransom and sets up a prison break on Ralph to set things in motion. If he can defeat the group of the most feared individuals in the galaxy who are armed to the teeth and wanting revenge, he figures he can defeat anyone. Viva! Viva Fub!
I'm rooting for Fub, is the thing about this.
Fub.
Yeah. This manual rules.
Everything about this, I mean, this is Barry. We could have said this a little bit earlier. I think this game kind of rules. It's fine to play.
Yeah.
But it's so fucking bonkers.
Uh-huh.
I really like Loaded.
Yeah.
I genuinely think this is pretty cool.
And I'm immediately on the defensive because we've been so derisive of Twisted Metal and Sweet Tooth, the serial killer clown. Sorry. Yeah. Needles Kane.
Twisted George.
Needles Kane, the serial killer clown who rides the ice cream truck, Sweet Tooth. And I know that is a series that has a certain sense of humor to it. What with the ironic Calypso endings and whatnot. This has, it feels so much of its time being a Vertigo Comics kind of thing, you know, like they got Garth Ennis in here doing his shit to come up with these characters. This feels like it takes itself way less seriously.
It's not from Vertigo Comics.
Okay.
It's got, it had its origins in the more adult oriented Vertigo Comics, it says, but the design contribution was, Garth Ennis and a guy from 2000 AD.
Okay.
It's much more 2000 AD.
Okay.
Than Vertigo. But it is, I understand what you mean. Like, this is typically not the kind of thing we're in the pocket for. Mm-hmm. I think that this doesn't feel like it's, in some ways, doesn't feel like it's trying to be funny.
Yeah.
Is kind of the difference. Like, in the actual tone of the game, it's obviously trying to go for that ultra-violent, you know, Twisted Metal thing. But it's more lore and dumber lore.
Yeah. Like the manual that I found, which is actually just a story insert from the collector's edition. Like, it is just full of lore. It is all that it is. Like, they're really building this out, and we're like, and it's got good art of these fucked up guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Full transmedia property.
Yeah.
And stuff. This is like Bart Sears, or no, Carl Critchlow. It looks like a Sears illustrated on the cover.
Yeah.
Very much of its thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I cannot determine if the boys is actually in quotes, but a guy who just wants to feed the boys so much that he cooks his own legs. Like,
and then gets discharge for it.
Uh-huh.
Like, that was the one thing you shouldn't have done, Bob. There's one rule of this unit.
Yeah.
It's don't cook your own legs because you can't find meat. The boys won't stand for it.
The boys, you know what? They're not going to have it is the thing.
Yeah. Let's do the roster.
Yeah, we got to do the roster run.
Yeah, because the roster run on this is real special. The crew we could play as.
Yeah.
I was a Captain Hands man.
You know what? I did Captain Hands too, honestly.
Yeah. Because he's a pirate-like character with freakishly large hands, forearms, and an exposed rib cage. His head is human. He has a bone. This is the most Zane Rocks shit that I've ever read.
It really is. Yeah.
Like, let me tell me this didn't come right out of the mouth of Zane.
Uh-huh.
A pirate-like character with freakishly large hands and forearms, but an exposed rib cage. His head is human. He is a bounty hunter with a cybernetic body that is old and out of date. He chooses to keep for unknown reasons. His weapons are a pair of flintlocks, and his bomb is the Vortex Bomb, a curtain of dark energy that shreds enemies to pieces. This attack can travel through walls and doors.
Oh,
put it in my fucking veins. It's
very, yeah. No, I picked him because he was a reverse Rayman. Just the fact that he's the man without a torso.
Yeah. Well, he has a torso.
Well, he's got the torso.
The skeleton part of a torso.
Yeah. He's got the torso without any of the working parts. It's like, oh, look at that building. Oh, there's a building there. I mean, it's mostly just I-beams and stuff in the middle. But.
Yeah. Yeah. Just it's like a teardown. When you tear out the middle of a building, it stays up. Or it's like we have to play Loaded Origin, where they talk about how he cooked his own rib flesh because he couldn't find meat for the boys.
Yeah. I just love this. It just every important person in this is just a very considerate and self-sacrificing person who just wants to take care of the boys.
Yeah, loves the boys. Next up, we got Mama. Mama is a large, psychologically disturbed man with the mind of an infant. Mm-hmm. He wears a diaper, bonnet, and bunny slippers. Can only say Mama. Mm-hmm. Mama's weapon is the plasma gun, and his bomb is the ripple grenade. Used when Mama creates a wave through the ground that instantly kills a large amount of foes.
This attack can also go through walls and doors.
Oh, thank you, Wikipedia.
Thank you. Yeah. So Mama is not the not the mascot for this. That is Foink.
No.
But Mama is like the Mario of the game. It kind of seems, but he's a big goofy, just a big goofy baby man.
It's like it has the same proportions as the Goon.
Oh,
the,
yeah.
The comic, except with a baby's head and a diaper.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, strong baby.
And I like how he's got mittens tied to his wrists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, makes sense for a baby. And he's got a binky.
Mm-hmm.
Like strong baby. Classic strong baby.
Yeah. Foink is the mascot for this. He is he's the butcher clown.
Yes. He's not a serial killer clown. Don't get it twisted. He looks like a paramilitary clown to me. He's a man donning a bink bag over his face, painted to resemble a clown. He carries a teddy bear and a mood shifting balloon, which has three colors: green for Chuckly, yellow for I Need Space, and red for I Wouldn't Ask If I Were You, which is very polite
and very relatable too. I need that balloon.
Very could be on a novelty coffee cup. You know, like I wouldn't ask if I were you with a picture of a grumpy owl or something.
This better be important.
Yeah, oh, man. You know, very similar.
Yeah, he's his.
And in case you're wondering, his bomb cannot travel through walls and doors.
See, that's the limitation, right? Well, because it's a teddy bear. It's an exploding teddy bear.
Damn it, Fwank.
This one I was not we're getting into a couple of duds here. Bouncer. Yeah. Yeah, as a bouncer who has turned who has turned into a mercenary, wears a muzzle and a tuxedo. Bouncer, you know, you're swimming with the big boys here. You gotta come with a gimmick or you better not come at all.
The muzzle that he wears looks like Baron Underbite almost exactly.
Yes.
Which is really weird. And his the one thing he's got going for him in the drawing in the manual is his missile launcher that is explicitly two boobs. Like, could not be mistaken for anything else.
Right.
Vox is the lady character.
Mm-hmm.
In the game, a DJ who uses technology, music technology, and sound.
Yeah.
To fight the enemies. There's not a lot to Vox. Vox is the, you know, the cool one.
It's a cyber girl.
Yeah. E-girl. Yeah.
But her attacks do go through walls and doors, as does Bounces.
Thank God. And then we got Butch. Butch is a guy in a dress. Can you imagine? He gets mad at people who thinks it's funny that he's in a dress. Do you want to take back those chuckles?
No, I stand. It's the '90s. Okay. I don't know better.
Butch is going to get you. But he, you know, nothing great about Butch.
No.
Just, you know, a yelling guy in a dress.
Mm-hmm.
That's our crew.
That's our crew. All of these folks. And yeah, this is like a Smash TV top down, kind of deal. It was a little hard to look at for me,
It's a little too zoomed in.
Yeah. You can fix that. Some of the shoulder buttons will zoom you out slightly. I think it's L2 will zoom you out. And then, R2 will zoom you in,
I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's a really weird,
yeah.
That's not how all those buttons are used.
Uh huh. No, my problem was, so this is doing tricks. I mean, this is a very early, PS1 game. They came out in North America in 1995, which is, you know, first days. Like, I remember seeing, ads for this in GamePro, around the time it came out. Like, they did big campaigns around this. Yeah. And so it's kind of working with early limitations. The levels themselves are 3D geometry, but all of the characters are pre-rendered sprites. My problem with this, with kind of following some of the action, was the really intense flicker on it that made me just kind of like not embracing the gameplay of this very much. In addition, also, like, Robotron or Smash TV without the dual stick is a real rough putt.
Yeah. It doesn't control as well as you want it to.
Yeah.
On this. Like, I agree. It's overly flashy and the like. I would have ate this the fuck up as a kid.
Oh yeah.
If I got this when it came out,
mm-hmm.
though. Like, it's, you know, simple and dumb and kind of fun.
Yeah.
And lots of loud explosions. that happened. I wanted to find out more about the story of this. so I looked up just the cutscenes.
Okay.
On YouTube. There's one, an anonymous spaceship coming to the planet, and then you get to see Phub in one of them. And let me tell you, Phub, who looks like a fat guy kind of riding the bottom of a alien's power loader.
Okay.
Like, it does not look cool for somebody who can change reality.
Like, kind of seems like he would get his own house in order before he started working on reality itself.
He just unfortunately just bites it at the end in a very, very short cutscene.
Yeah.
Trying to find Phub. If I can just find a Google image search of Phub, and there's we're Phubless.
Ruby, we are Phubless. Yeah. I couldn't, I did not go and look for any cutscenes, primarily because, like, the opening cutscene is like a character walking down a hallway, swiping a key card on a door, and then being shot dead.
Yeah.
It's just nonsensical.
They were not really made for what's happening. Apparently in some area of Denmark, Phub Kids is a brand. In my search, I just found Phub Kids.
I just did a Google search for loaded Phub. And all that I'm getting is just pictures of loaded guns. Good on them. Good on your SEO, 22-year-old video game.
Well, it was successful.
Yeah.
This game, Gremlin Interactive, got to make a sequel, Reloaded.
Mm-hmm.
Which each character gets a character introduction in that, which there are cutscenes for.
Yes. Yeah. That was like a sequel kind of remake kind of deal too, I think.
It's definitely a sequel. After Phub's body is destroyed at the end of the previous game, his brain fled in an escape pod, landing on the harsh desert world of Keybutt 5. the brain is implanted into the body of a chiseled bronze young artist hermit named Manuel Otto. He murders the loyal surgeons responsible for giving him a new body, mm-hmm. and is reincarnated and renamed Cheb, which stands for charming, handsome, erudite bastard. So, but it's the Flub to Cheb pipeline.
Damn it. I saw a video about that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's actually really a big deal, especially with the culture wars and stuff.
Oh, yeah. No. It was all anybody talked about in 2018. Yeah. They replaced Vox. They said, Vox, you're not doing it for us. So they replaced with two new female characters, a pink-haired cannibalistic sex symbol named the Consumer, and a malfunctioning android nun named Sister Magpie. Gary, I think this might rule.
All of this stuff kind of rules.
Yeah, I mean,
and again, it is very hard to differentiate why this rules and other things that do this stuff suck.
I mean, so exposure, right? When was the last time, like, I only picked this. This was a cold joint. I only picked this because we came across it on a recent Exquisite Suffering about Project Overkill. And it's like, oh, that'd be fun to do. And I kind of didn't have an idea. So just, I figured let's put it in the hopper at the very least. I mean, we discovered on that episode that the name for this in Japan was Blood Factory, which is an incredibly good name for a video game. So I just put it here, but like, you don't hear about this. Like, this is not one where like, you know, for most of my adult life, I have been reading news stories about, they're going to reboot Twisted Metal. They're going to bring it back. It's finally going to capture the old days and all that. Like, I feel like Twisted Metal, I might just like, maybe my bias against it isn't necessarily something inherent to it. Maybe it's because it was overexposed. Maybe because so many people were like, oh yeah, this is cool. Nobody talks about Loaded. Nobody has ever said, no. Oh, this is badass. I'm just discovering this as if it was produced whole cloth for me, you know, yesterday when I started looking at this stuff. And as a creation of today, the idea of Fub turning into Cheb, primarily because he cooked his own legs and had his brain put into a handsome man.
Yeah, into Manuel Otto.
Yeah. Manuel Otto. That's really good. Manuel Otto. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty great.
Yeah.
It's hard to argue with this. You know what it reminds me of? A little bit, like a more misguided MDK.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tone and stature, like the MDK. Like strata of games.
You know what? That is actually a really good point.
Yeah. When's the last time anybody talked about MDK? Like, I think that those are better loved than Reloaded. Loaded.
Yeah.
But they're not, you know, nobody thinks about MDK that much.
No. And, you know, like maybe sometimes MDK comes up in discussions about BioWare. That was BioWare.
Outlaws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Outlaws. What's Outlaws?
Outlaws is another one of these MDK alikes.
Huh.
It's by LucasArts.
Okay. I recognize this. Yeah. It's like a first person shooter kind of deal. Yeah.
Yeah. With weird cartoony, like just weird of this time.
Yeah.
Game. The mid to late 90s for these Western companies doing these odd little character based things.
The game received mostly negative reviews from critics. Yeah, I think you hear about MDK primarily because people have affection for Shiny, and Gremlin Interactive was, you know, kind of they were sunsetting at this point. You know, their best days behind them were behind them. You know, when they were making Monty Mole games and such.
Yeah, and Gremlin has done stuff that's good.
Oh yeah, Realms of the Haunting.
You know, like Realms of the Haunting. Worked on the original Gauntlets games, which I have a weakness for Gauntlet. I think Gauntlet's cool. Mm-hmm. And then, what was the thing? There was something specific that they did that I remember thinking like, oh, that's cool. Oh, Realms of the Haunting, but they also did Soulbringer.
I've never played or heard of Soulbringer.
It is the, top-down, computer action RPG thing that for some reason they packaged with Torment.
Oh, weird.
Early on. Yeah, like there used to be these, like in Walmart, I would get these $10 jewel case PC games, and it was the best thing in the world. Whereas like Fallout 1 and 2, $10.
Uh-huh.
And Torment came with Soulbringer at first before it eventually became came with Icewind Dale.
Uh-huh.
Like it does now. But yeah, I remember, I haven't thought about Soulbringer in forever. When I was doing research on this, it gave me this huge like, whoa. You
know, I remember Soulbringer. Those good times.
And the computer version of HeroQuest.
Oh,
the other thing they did that I remember I have some affection for.
No, I got that. Yeah.
No, great. Jack the Nipper.
Yeah, no, I opened that up. That's a
iconic British comic book character. Sweeney Todd. Sweeney Todd is pretty good.
That's clever. I like that.
Yeah. I like Sweeney Todd. Does he give other kids like workouts? He changes their diaper with a straight razor.
Wait like, a minute. So you control Jack, a naughty child who wants to break the record for naughtiness. You get spankings, and with each spanking, your nappy rash meter increases.
Oh no!
And if it goes too high, you lose a life. You can get spank rashed to death.
If we know, find out who does this, we're going to find him and spank his bare butt, back, and balls. Well, somebody's got to do it.
Yeah. What's going on that island? Got a 93% in crash.
I love it.
Yeah.
Can I read to you some game fact stuff?
You may. As well?
The introduction to the one game fact for this.
I'm a historian.
Yeah, this is really good. Imagine this. You're in prison. You're mentally disturbed. You're a gun-toting citrate made of scrap metal from the neck down. No, wait. You're a psychotic clown wannabe with a rocket launcher and an attitude. No, wait. You're a cross-dressing serial murderer armed with a flamethrower and a few cans of napalm. You're a freak on a mission. You're out to kill anything that moves. You're loaded. Good job, Zane.
Well, okay, well,
I'm a history buff. Yeah.
If you're not interested in this section, skip it. Thanks for your permission, bud. But it's interesting to see how games like Loaded have evolved from their arcade-based ancestors.
Yeah. It all began with Robotron, the history of the dual stick shooter.
Yeah. And then at the end, the PS, I know I left out tons of classics. Such as the original Wolfenstein, Metal Gear, Zombies at My Neighbors. But how long did you want the section to be? Well, you're the one who put it in.
I didn't want to include Metal Gear. What the fuck are you talking? Are you? Is this the history of top-down games? This is nothing to do with the original Metal Gear, which is a really weird. Like I watched somebody beat that recently before bed because I've been watching long plays of old Nintendo games before bed. It's a real weird game and could not be further apart from any of this stuff.
Yeah. No.
You know, fucking weirdo. He does explain what's happening. Possibly the darkest game ever made. Loaded's visuals set the mood.
This was written in 1996. It was updated in 1996. So maybe he was right at that point, which is funny.
Flink is a great looking and cool character. It's just too bad his weapon is horrible.
Flink.
He's a great looking and cool character. I'm sorry. I just can't get into Vox. Hyper bad techno babe.
Hans is not a cowboy. He is not a pirate. Hans is a cowboy pirate android hybrid. An interesting combination. An interesting combination indeed. Yes.
I swirling a snifter of brandy talking about Hans and Fub. I love this man.
Oh man, so good.
Its conclusion. With the instant success of the PlayStation, there are lots of great games to choose from and lots more on the horizon. So it qualifies as a good purchase. I'd have to say a major factor would be the replay value. What are you talking? Why is this your conclusion?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Does the game keep you coming back for more, or is it collecting?
It is a review fact.
Yeah, I guess.
Law 667.
All in all,
hasn't done tons.
No, just you know, got in, got out, and was just in the game long enough to have an AOL.com email address.
Love them. Yep. did the second most popular move list and guide for Street Fighter the movie, the fighting game.
And then
Can you imagine?
Destruction Derby. And that's kind of a fun PlayStation game. Destruction Derby is.
Introduction. It seemed like a match made in heaven. The Sony PlayStation, the best system gaming has to offer, and Street Fighter, arguably the most popular fighting series of all time. Yet of all the fighting games available for the PlayStation, Street Fighter the movie is probably the one that left most gamers the most underwhelmed. AOL and internet postings about the game seem to indicate that fighting fans are disappointed.
The thing about Law 667 is that he has his finger on the pulse.
It's so quaint. Yeah. Actually, since this is my first version, I don't have anyone in the AOL internet community to thank. But send in your additions in the future and you will be credited. So sweet. Why are you so sweet?
On the Destruction Derby pack, PlayStation, Saturn, 3DO, they're here. They're 32-bit, and odds are you own at least one. Now that we're at the next level of video gaming, we're really beginning to see what lies in store for its future. Oh, just a snapshot of a time and place. The fact that
so pure.
The fact that you would put Saturn in with PlayStation is amazing, but 3DO?
Yeah.
Like in
these were all written for a report for a very patient eighth grade teacher. Like you used to like just try to find any way to include video games
yeah.
in schoolwork.
Of course. Yeah.
You know? And like you're at the front of the class trying to convince people that video games are cool for some reason. Like I am an ambassador.
Yep.
You know? Like I have to do this.
I need you to care about the things I care about.
Yeah. It's a very ridiculous.
I love it.
What a sweetheart. I love him.
Oh man. Wherever you are, I hope you're doing good, Law 667.
Me too.
Forces for good.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very much. Very very focused forces for good. Marketing for their forces of good. Like the year is 1995. You know? FUB is on the loose. And then we'll be like, yeah, man, I'm down.
Yeah, no,
like,
no. Finish,
keep, like keep going. When Law 667 starts talking, I'm gonna pay attention largely to be polite. You know, like I'm into it because it's like, where's it going to go? But also it's like a little kid explaining their OC.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like, oh, he has wings like an angel, but like a demon. And I'm like, okay. All right. Yeah. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
He looks like Sonic, but he doesn't collect rings for his life. He collects them to sell to support his drug habit.
Yeah. You're like, okay. Like, yeah. I
a little right, dark. Then. You're mining some pretty edgy veins, but you know what? I got to support you.
Yeah, you know, it's a good job, kid. I love kids getting really enthusiastic about just like absolute nonsense they just totally imagined.
Oh yeah, yeah,
it's real fun to me. I said this on another show. I don't think I've told you this before, though. Did I tell you the thing that my friend's daughter said? People who listen to every show on the network are irritated because I've talked about this before. I know, but
no, I don't. I don't believe the last thing I got of yours. You sent me a drawing of the Simpsons that one of your friends' kids made.
Which girl, Opal.
Okay.
She's awesome. Mm-hmm. And she also, we were talking, her dad, has a hearse.
Okay.
Noah, who you've met.
Yeah. Noah, designed our first poster, for Watch Out for Fireballs.
Yeah. Yeah. No, great friend of mine. Very close. Mm-hmm. But she said, we're talking about hearses, and she said, what if instead of everybody having a coffin, they just made one coffin that was 1,600 feet high and everyone was buried in it?
Oh,
very special.
She invented a mass grave.
A vertical mass grave that sticks off the planet like a Katamari that tried to pick up a golf club. You know? Just incredible stuff. And I'm like, yeah, what if?
Yeah.
You know, I love just taking a kid's just absolute horseshit nonsense and just being like, yeah, huh. You know, I can honestly say I've never thought about what if we were all just buried in one gigantic casket that was really tall.
Yeah. You know? Like I'm not going to come in here and say like, oh, God doesn't like you building something that tall. You know, yeah. I'm not going to tell you about like, it just the tensile strength of the
casket of Babel.
Yeah. I'm not going to talk about the material
one
science.
One person of every language is buried in it.
Yeah, no, I'm not gonna come in here. Oh, including the shared language of twins. How grim is that?
Sure.
Ugh.
That's very grim. They both had to be there for that one. Yeah. And then the poor guy who made up Esperanto, like whenever anyone, or like J.R.R. Tolkien for making up Elvish.
Yep.
Oh fuck. I think this is gonna get me here.
Yeah. I was gonna go visit Tolkien's grave, but I don't know where the fuck it is in the tower that reaches up beyond the moon.
Yeah, you have to get get a private space launch to visit the grave up there. And then I got to have the great moment of telling a kid a real life thing that they don't know, which is that there are parts in New Orleans that are like those mass graves where you like end up in the different layers, but you're only at the top layer. You only get your own layer for a couple years, and then they just dump you down to the bottom with the corpse slurry. Tour guide called it shake and bake.
How old is this girl?
Pretty young.
Okay.
But awesome.
Okay.
Like, all right. Undeniably awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Okay. All right.
Yeah. She kept talking about how I guess this is a reference to a kid show she was talking about, but she kept talking about, sniffing cakes, which I also really liked. She's like, you know, like sniffing, like I can't sniff cakes, or like you're a cake sniffer, or, you know,
that sounds
go sniff that cake.
It's like a horrible euphemism.
I'm like, all right, I guess I'll go sniff a cake.
Huh.
You know, like, huh. You know, good job, Opal. You're the boss.
That is really funny.
Her brother, Ivan, is now, he's playing keyboard. They have a piano game at the house they're renting.
Okay.
And he's really good at it. Hmm. He's like a young kid and he's doing good work.
Nice.
It's like pretty impressive to see. He's one of those like Charlie Day kind of like, keyboard just makes sense to me.
Nice.
You know, kind of guys.
Oh, that's so, really, that's heartening when you see a kid kind of just stumble across something that is kind of natural for them.
Yeah. No, it's very sweet. Yeah. And it gives me like a source for hand-me-downs for music stuff.
Oh yeah.
To have a very sweet uncle moment, like showing him my iOS app that has music making software and stuff.
Nice.
And he got real fascinated.
Huh? So, no, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. Felt good.
I dig it.
Yeah. Uncles aren't just like drunk guys who make the best jokes at weddings.
No, no.
They can also be encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
You know? One of my nightmare uncles gave me my first drum machine and got me into music. And turned out to be like not a great guy in my family, but, you know, still very encouraging.
It was an uncle who got you into like adventure games and RPGs, right?
Different uncle. Yeah. I'm very ashamed of my uncles.
Yeah. I think a lot of us are.
I've been forged in the crucible of uncles. Dark Souls title card.
Yeah. I think a lot of us who are lucky enough to have had uncles have been shaped by them in some ways. And I don't just mean that like in a grim, like haha kind of way. No, I just, like I have both my on my dad's side and my mom's side, I have just one uncle who was unmarried, who was also like at a very early age into games and stuff. Right. So it was, that was just real, real funny to have this like somewhat less mature uncle on both sides who was like giving me their cast down stuff.
Yeah. I reclaim uncle, you know, when you said like, oh, not just the joke way.
Yeah.
You know, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, give me uncles are back.
Uncles are back and they're here to stay this time.
Yeah. Finally, the boys are back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to disappoint the boys.
Yeah. If you're an uncle, do something really good for your niece or nephew. Just surprise them with something good. Yeah.
Listen to him talk about it.
Yeah.
You know? Wow.
A key discovery. There's a Casket Darkfire review, but it's pretty much just Casket Darkfire.
Yeah, dot text.
Yeah.
I was disappointed by the reviews of this because it's in that weird middling section. Everything's like a six.
it's never good when you open up the review page and it's just all yellow scores. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's Gauntlet in space with crazy people and gore, but not as good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, no, that sounds about right. Okay.
Very well. what should people do if they like this show?
Well, if people like the show, they can support us on Patreon. They get a whole bunch of extra stuff if they do that, including extra episodes of this show, whole other shows like Unfilmable or Bonfireside Chat. Or if you like Watch Out for Fireballs, you get the premium episodes. There is a ton of value at the $5 the $5 phase. Or if you're unsure, you just kind of want to see, you know, get a sampling of what's offered. Even at the $3 tier, you get access to the Slack. And you also get a like a welcome pack of content, which is 10 episodes, just kind of two episodes of any of our of all of our premium shows that are there. It's a ridiculous value because we have just so goddamn much. We've made a lot of audio, Gary.
Yeah. All our loving, all our kissing. You get to see what you've been missing. Oh, yeah. Boy. Yeah. What you've been missing, pack. Join us. It's been great.
Yeah.
We appreciate you. If you already do this, that you're awesome. We think you're incredible.
Yes.
If you haven't yet, we appreciate you. If you cannot afford to patronize us, which we understand, please head on over to Apple Podcast or Podcast Addict. Leave us a rating or review. It helps. Or tell your friends. That helps. Stay safe.
Please do. And until next time, tell @PlumberDuck he's a very good boy.